That's one thing I wanted to ask you, Fred, was the hanging down at the loophole. How many times did my dad put that up? Did he have a kind of a contract from the Dogie?
He had a contract from the Dogie, and he, 2 years, I think.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And 1 year, he had all those boys from Townsend. There was Ray Doig and Foster and White. Because you don't remember all those. You were pretty small.
Right.
And he had a couple other kids, too. I can't think of their name now, but he hired all those kids from Townsend.
I see.
And we all had horses in those days. And the Dogie brought down the workhorses, and the workhorses just hayed in the summertime. And they were turned out on the range for 10 or 11 months and worked the other 30 days. And there was all kinds of excitement. There was runaways and you know, all kinds of. We had all horse rakes and we had those bull rakes, they called them.
Yeah, right.
And there one horse stood on one, was hitched up over there, and another one was hitched up. And one to turn, you held one back and you whipped the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So then you went in a circle.
Wheeled them around, yeah.
And
so you had a bunch of punk kids who couldn't handle
the
horses.
Well, the kids were all right. They were pretty athletic kids, but they didn't. They had to catch on to horses.
Yeah,
And there was a couple of runaways with rakes.
Well, it seemed to me there was
I tell you what he did have, though. He had a couple old fellows that they started haying way down, and they made it here every year for the Dogie. One old fellow, I remember, his name was Phil Slim, and he could drive bronks.
I see.
He ran a mower. Well, I think it took Charlie about 40 days to put that hay up down there.
Is that right? About how many tons would it have been then, Fred?
Well, about 800 tons.
I see.
And that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of
hay.
That
ain't hay.
Yeah, right.
That's not hay.
Particularly with the...
With the horses.
Particularly with the half...
We put up about... We don't put up any more than that now, but...
Uh-huh.
Of course, we're short of pasture, and we pasture a little more.
Yeah,
Charlie had to cut the whole thing.
Cut the whole
Because they had pasture up there, and they wanted all the hay they could get.
Is that all wild hay in those days?
Yes, all wild hay. And a lot of swampy, rough ground, too.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of guys had the runaways. They're getting that rough ground and... Well, they're busy riding, and pretty soon the horses are going.
I see, it seems to me that there was a 1 year, too, in World War II, and he had a high school girl, Doris Schuler, and
he did.
A bunch of crippled up old guys from
town. I think he put the hay up the Dogie with them, though, I think.
Could have been.
Up to Stubbs and Wheeler, I think.
Because
I don't remember too many girls down there.
Yeah.
There were these boys from Townsend.
Yeah.
And that Ray Doig, he must be a cousin of yours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, second cousin.
Second cousin.
Yeah,
he's still over there.
Yeah.
We still talk about the time we hayed with Charlie Doig.
Yeah.
But
I wonder if my dad put up, did he put up a lot of hay for the Dogie then? You mentioned he...
Yes, I think he put up the whole thing one time.
The whole thing, you think so, huh?
Either 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
They just gave him a contract so much a ton, and Charlie put it up. Your mother was down there that time.
I imagine
she was a lot. You were about 4 years old, I think.
I see. I wonder. He must have. Would he have left the Jim Stewart Ranch by then? I suppose.
I think so.
He'd
left by then.
80 head of these horses,
and the more horses changed every half a day.
Oh, did they?
New horses every half a day.
Oh, I didn't remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite a job.
There's two old fellows that tell me they came back. Boy, I must have came back for 20 years to the Dogie, and then, of course, Charlie had him.
Mm-hmm.
And one old guy's name was Bob Eggert, and this other guy's name was Phil Slim.
Slim, huh?
And they both, they quit coming and died, I guess.
They would simply follow the hay season.
They were mower men. They wouldn't touch anything but mowing. If you didn't have a mowing job, they went on. That was their specialty.
Yeah.
And they liked Walter Donahoe, and they came back every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
They had folks following the crop.
Oh, yeah, they follow the crop, just like these combines follow it now. They follow the hay.
Uh-huh.
And let's see, we had, after them bull rakes, we had two men on a stack, and I think your dad stacked.
I think he did.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he, two men on a stack, and Charlie was one of them. And they put up in the neighborhood of... around 40 or 50 ton a day, I think.
I'll be darned.
Four or five stacks, 10 ton stacks.
Uh-huh. That's what the usual size of a stack is,
10 ton stack. And the stacker they had was what they called an overshot.
I did use an overshot.
All
always,
it did
yeah.
is come down like that, and they put the hay on it and threw it up.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Down again and threw it up to you.
Now they would have used a team to on that.
Oh
too,
yeah,
they?
Derek called that the Derek team.
Derek team,
and,
yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know who ran that. I think one of those kids from Townsend ran that.
And
they had there wasn't a tractor in the field, no tractors.
Mm-hmm. Then they would have had what a bunch. Couple of bunch rakers, would they?
Oh,
or?
Yeah, I think there's, oh, down there they had more.
More, yeah.
The hay was wild hay and had what we call two head rakers and two scratch rakers.
Mm-hmm.
They picked up the hay the second time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Scatter rakers, I've heard them called.
Yeah.
But they were
scratch rakers.
Scratch rakers.
Scatter rakers.
Yeah.
I had quite a time with that. When I was little, that's how I started out, scatter raking. You
yeah.
go this way. Well, you could do any way you wanted to. You could have a pattern, or you could just go here and there.
Uh-huh.
Any way to get the hay.
Yeah. Did you start down here on your place?
Yeah, I worked right on a place right below the loophole.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Started when I was 7, and
yeah.
I'm still at it. I'll be 70 next year, and I don't think I ever missed a year.
Is that right?
Right.
You may have the longest continuous haying record of anybody in the valley.
I think I am. I never been sick of haying, or... And I started when I was 7. We had a different kind of a stacker, and we had an old mower that somebody had a runaway with and wouldn't mow anymore, and they put a seat on that, and I had an old team, and I used to drive the Derrick.
Uh-huh. I see.
And that's where I started.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years since.
Well, how?
63 years ago.
Yeah. How were you able to reach the pedals and handle the levers on a scatter rake?
Well, I drove the Derrick till I was about 2 years, and then
uh-huh.
I didn't want that job anymore, and Dad was running the crew, and I wanted to step up, so then I partly sat on the seat and partly kept one
yeah.
foot on the tongue.
Yeah, boy, that's...
And then I was scatter raker, and then uh-huh. I did that for a couple of years, and then I wanted to advance, and I was head raker. I was going right behind the mower, and I got away from that humdrum job of scatter raker. Go crazy with that thing, just going around in circles and all over.
Yeah.
So then I got promoted to a bull rake.
Yeah.
I stayed with that a long time.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was one of the top bull rakers.
Top bull rakers.
I could do better than some of the men that Dad hired off of the train here in town.
Yeah.
Because
uh-huh.
I knew where the land was. And,
yeah.
And of course I learned a lot of bad language in the bunkhouse. Fellas were pretty tough that he hired, you know.
You say off the train, were they?
Yeah, I got them off the train in that,
oh.
in that time. Yeah.
The
train used to come in from out to Milwaukee, and those fellas, I don't know, were they caught hitch rags on there or not? There wasn't any buses or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd come up to the joints, and the joints would tell Dad they had a man or so, and
yeah.
he'd come in and get them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
these have the same, same place.
They
were
about Phil Slim and Bob
yeah.
Edgar.
Uh-huh.
And they would.
It was part of their routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's quite a change now. You can't even
yeah.
can't find men, right?
Well, I'm promoted now. You know what? I hold now. I'm a top man, and Rick bought a new $14,000 tractor, and I'm a baler man now.
Are you?
I'm getting up towards the top.
I see. Yeah, well, you hang on here. You're going to get a decent job out of it,
yeah,
yet, Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm. I've hit the top now. And I've run the baler now for about 6 or 7 years, and I still don't know. You know, when the thing went tie right, it puzzles you a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah.
And those old knotters on the... They used to have binders. We used to have binders, and those international harvesters, they had the first knotters, you know. These are similar.
Are they?
Same.
Yeah, same.
Same idea. They
yeah.
didn't get away. They can't get away from that. They have a what they call a bill hook, and that thing turns around and grabs. There's a hook like that. They call that the bill hook. That
yeah.
clamps down over the twine and pulls it around and pulls it through.
Yeah, I've seen
that's
that.
That's a tire.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So. Can't get away from that. The international had that way back with the old binders.
Uh-huh. Very good.
So, I'm up to the top now.
There you go. You've worked your way right up from that scratch rating.
Well, he's waiting for me to start. We got back from Canada.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Still waiting.
Put off haying until you get home, huh?
Yeah.
Were you around my dad any besides haying? Do you remember anything about him besides?
I've known your dad and met him in town a lot of times, but...
Yeah.
used to talk to him all the time.
Yeah, I remember you.
Most of the time he was out to Ringling.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I didn't get very far, but...
16.
Known Charlie for a long time.
Mm-hmm, yeah. He worked out at the Dogie for quite a while.
Yeah, he did, yeah. And see, they had the loophole lease for about 20
years. 30 years, Chris.
How long?
30 years.
30 years.
Same.
She would lease it to me. She, Rick, now he can have anything he wants.
I see. Okay.
Things are different.
She's waiting for the right bucking hand to come
along.
For
the right one to come along, and he come along, and he's got his free hand.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to get that big.
No.
I had my outfit, and I ran it with a couple of men, and ran about 300 a cow. Now he runs about 700.
700?
700 altogether.
I'll be darned.
And then he sells hay on the side.
Right.
Yeah, he's got
no notion of that.
He's got quite a chunk there now. He's got mine and he's got hers right in the middle. Hers is right in the middle of mine.
I see.
So he's running a lot of cattle now.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's making any money.
Yeah.
Well, I run a small bunch and made money.
I see. Yeah. A little bit backwards there.
Yeah. Well, they say you got to get big to make it, but I don't know. You get big and it costs you a lot too.
Yeah. I was telling Gertrude, we were over at the Bozeman week or so ago, looking back into the Dogie records over there at the university, you know. And
they were pretty big.
And they were pretty big, but there's a letter in there from the Forest Service at the time, Jap Stewart, threw in with him in 1926. And the Forest Service guy is telling his superior that the Dogie has had some pretty rocky years here, and if they throw in with this fellow, why, then things are probably going to improve. And I guess they did, all right. But
I don't think the seawater... He was a lawyer, supposed to be. And he got to drinking some bad in Seattle, and they stuck him out here on the ranch.
Yeah.
I think he had some bad years.
Yeah. And, of course, wasn't too long before that, somebody else was running it, too. A guy named Rourke?
Rourke? Let's see. It was pretty close. Yeah, I went to school with that fellow's kid in high school. What? No. It was like that. A similar name to that.
Yeah, that's not quite it, either.
No, it isn't quite
it. Rorden, but anyway, and he apparently wrangled with the Forest Service a lot. There's some letters over there of him wrestling with Forest Service.
It was pretty close over there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, darn. The kid rode the school horseback in the Dogie to high school.
Oh.
Jap wasn't bad. He got him out of that land out there to those mountains out there by Jim Stewart.
Yeah, Grassy. And
Grassy, yeah. He got them... $2 an acre or something. You know.
Something like that, yeah. I think, yeah.
It's funny, Jap didn't get them for himself. He got some. He got about a section somewhere there, I think.
Yeah.
And he should have got the whole work himself.
Yeah. No, I think Jap was quite an operator in his way, wasn't he? So.
He's quite a sharpie.
Yeah, that's what I guess.
And he's a good sheep man, too, I think.
Yeah. That was my dad's first jump. Jap made him camp tender out at the Dogie when he was just 23 or 24. And found that over in the payroll.
She was a nice lady. Mrs. Stewart.
Alice Stewart, yeah.
I think she just died here last year.
Did she?
She lived in went to San Francisco, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I always liked her.
Yeah.
She kept the books for Jap, kept Jap a little straight.
Yeah, he needed a little bit
of straightening out.
I was talking to Tony Hunault the other day, and he remembers Jap.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Tony's getting pretty old, too.
He is. I'm kind of sorry to see that. You know, of course, he doesn't look as old as he is. He's 83, he told me, and I wouldn't have guessed that. So. But, he and Andy Gabriels are about the only old-timers I can think of around here who worked with my dad out there. So.
Yeah, it just came out.
Let's see, Dode Knight must have been out there about that time.
Well, yeah, he was.
Dode, yeah, a dead Dode.
Yeah, Dode was there with my dad.
Let's see, who the hell is.
And,
How about, Burnett's are out there. Jeff's still alive, but I don't think he's doing very good.
Yeah.
And Cybernet.
Yeah,
I didn't remember that.
Well, we looked through canceled checks and the payroll records over there in Bozeman, and you know I recognized a lot of names, and most of the guys are dead now, of course. So.
Well,
let's see. When you were a kid around here, you mentioned all these homesteads came in just before World War
I. I was about 7 or 8 years old when Billy Morton and the homesteaders came in on the south bench. See, Dad had what we have down there below Gertrude's called the old Frittick place. And he raised horses. Dad did. He had as many as 100 mares there and a stallion. And he raised those horses and broke them and sold them to those farmers.
Oh, I see.
And he had quite a thing going there. He figured that would last for quite a while, but all at once, when these big old tractors come in, then the horse sales went.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He was caught with quite a bunch of horses and couldn't get anything for them.
Right.
Of course, he did make money on them. He had a. I remember he had a stallion that. Dad's brother quit cow punching and he went back to Valparaiso, Indiana, and became a dentist. And Dad didn't like that. He said, told his brother Joe if he'd have stayed here, we'd have had more land and everything. But Uncle Joe wanted to be a dentist, so he went back there and he brought this stallion out. It was a registered purchase. They had a big farm back there. And he made a lot of money out of that horse.
Is that right? Huh.
I can still remember that horse.
But
those French horses, they cut their tail off or something. His tail was about that long.
Yeah.
I can still remember that.
I was up there at Valier a few weeks ago. They had what they called Homesteader Days, and a team of Percherons came in from Oregon for a pulling contest. They were really something to see.
Yeah, big ones.
Yeah, one of them weighed about a ton. The other one was 1,800 pounds. There.
I think this stallion weighed about 1,800 or a ton. I still remember he just had, why they did that, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah. When did your dad come to this country?
Dad came over from England in 1872 or 3. Came to Diamond City.
To Diamond City, yeah.
Mother came from the same place in England, about 50 miles farther down, and they met in Diamond City.
Oh, I see.
And they talked the same lingo. They talked the dang language of Cornish.
Cornish?
Cornish. And they could talk that, and they, anytime they didn't want us kids to know what they were talking about, they talked that. Never did learn it, I never. Couldn't tell what they was talking about.
I see.
But anyway, he came there to the mining camp, but he didn't mine. He hauled wood for the miners, and then he got a team and freighted from Helena to White Sulphur. And he went out to the home place, and there was a spring there in a little meadow, and he'd stop there. He got squatter's rights on that.
And then this fellow, Lynn,
then that's where he raised the whole...
Built from there, huh? Yeah. Why'd they come to this country? Any notion?
No, they were poor. They were tin miners, and they couldn't make a living in England.
Yeah.
He said that, of course, he was just a young kid. He was, I think he was 11, and well, an older brother came over, and he found some gold, and he got enough money to send back for his dad, mother, and the three other kids. And they were poor as they could be in England. Couldn't hardly get stuff to eat.
Yeah.
So he rode over in the bottom of a boat, and I guess he was sick. Well, he wasn't English enough to be a sailor. He was sick all the way, and he wanted to go back, but he never lived long enough. Well, I guess those airplanes were going then, but not like now.
Yeah.
And he was afraid to go back. Too big ocean.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't go.
Yeah. Have you ever been back to where they came from?
No, but I'm going to go if I can.
That's a nice country through Cornwall. We've been down to it.
Have you?
I've been down to Devon, right on the Cornwall border,
Interesting. Mother came from a little town right down on Land's End called Penzance.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the tip.
And Gilbert and Sullivan.
And I think her hair was real dark and she wasn't very big. Jason and I said, I think the Spanish Armada got in there. Got a little Spanish.
I think that's the story of
that. That is.
Of that
they got in there.
Cornwall.
And Mother's hair was real black.
Yeah, that is.
She looked like she had a little Spanish.
Yeah, that's what's said of that part of Cornwall.
Yeah.
You're right.
She never said so, but we figured that out. Those damn sailors got in there. So they both came from about 50 miles apart over there.
Well, did most of those homesteaders wash out pretty early, or could they hang on to the till
they
the
hung on for a couple of years while the soil was fresh, but they didn't have any knowledge of farming.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you have to summer fallow. You have to skip 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know anything about that. They just plowed in the spring with those horses, and by the time they got the crop in, the drought was... But they did get a couple... The soil was pretty fertile, to start with, but after they got that...
But you play it out in a hurry.
Played out quick, see? And they didn't know how to hold the moisture. They came from back east, and they figured there'd be more moisture. Doesn't come here.
Yeah, right.
So they built houses all over out there, and all at once they borrowed and And from the banks down here, and pretty soon the banks had the land, or the county got it for taxes.
Yeah.
Banks as well.
Yeah, my grandmother has shown me old homesteads all through that Ringling country,
too. Oh, yeah.
Too,
oh,
course.
They're all over the place. You know, every half section.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just couldn't. Now you go out to Ringling and those places where those homesteads were, the grain's just high all over.
Yeah, my cousins are farming it.
Oh, those cousins, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cousins are something else again.
They're
going.
Yeah, we're going out to see them tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We'll have to hear the farmer's side of the world. So.
One of them is married to a relation of mine. Odell's daughter.
Oh, yeah, sure, Sherry.
Gordon, sure.
How's she related to you?
Well, my older sister married a raider, and Odell, her father was my nephew.
Yeah, I see.
That's his girl.
Yeah.
All the time. Heck yeah, Sherry's.
Yeah, I see.
One of the most
beautiful people. My nephew's daughter.
Uh-huh.
Well, easily in the Northwest.
Did you know their dad, Angus?
Yeah.
Very well, yeah.
Yeah. He was county commissioner. I knew him before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know him as good as I did Charlie, but I knew that. Angus,
yeah.
He was in county commission when he got killed.
Yeah, that's right, he was.
Yeah.
He lay there in that coma for so long.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, my dad never really got going in this country. He never got a place for himself and so forth. And I really don't know why. Do you know?
He should have. He was a hard worker.
Yeah, and I never was able to figure it out, really. Of course, part of it was my mother's death. That kind of threw him off the rails.
Oh, yeah. She was a pretty nice woman. But she must have had that from the time she was a girl.
Yeah.
Asthma.
That's the reason her family came out here from Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's how it affected her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my dad would go across the barnyard or whatever at almost a kind of a half.
I remember his grandfather. Old Ringer.
Tom Ringer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom, yep. I remember him too.
Yeah.
I didn't know him too good, but I know who he was.
Yeah, he was around town here.
Your grandmother was a pretty nice lady.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah,
she died just 3 years ago now.
She outlived Charlie too.
Yeah, she did. he always said she would. I know she had her 70th or 75th birthday, and he said, if I ever get to be that old, she'll still be pushing me around a wheelchair. And that was just about the case, too.
It was the cutest
trip.
Yeah, she was quite a worker.
There's some young ringers around here. One works down here for my nephew.
Oh, yeah, Dan works for the Wally out there, doesn't he? Yeah.
He's quite a fellow, too.
Oh, yeah, he's quite a cowboy, I guess.
He likes it out there. He said that was the best place he ever worked. He
right?
charged around
yeah.
tried here and there, and my God, this is more like home than any place I've been.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been there several years now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
A couple, 3 years?
Yeah. Well, he was cowboying and stuff. And rodeoing around, and he got out there, and he and Wayne are about, they're pretty close.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Wayne as well as his younger brother.
Yeah.
Quite a bit younger.
Did you ever do any of that bronc riding when you were there?
Not in rodeos.
Yeah.
I did a lot of it out.
Yeah.
I used to break horses for other people for $10 a head.
Oh.
And I pastured them too. Now they want $200 or $300.
Yeah, I gotta say, that rate's gone.
I had some pretty bad ones too. I think when they couldn't break them, they shifted them over. You know.
Yeah.
But I had a partner and he'd ride one and I'd snub him up, and then and I'd get one, and he'd snub him up.
Yeah, yeah.
I snubbed him up, but this close,
mm-hmm.
and take a big hike.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon he'd say, well, I think I can turn him loose. Well, maybe he couldn't. He couldn't.
One way to find out.
One way to find out. Said, well, I've let him long enough now. You can have him.
Yeah.
Well, hey. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
$10 a head, huh?
$10 a head, huh?
Is Jack Shearer in that business now, or something?
They say he is.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Talking about Clifford.
But he wants about $250.
Is that right?
And I hate to pay that because what if he doesn't? If the horse isn't any good, you can break him, but if he isn't any good, then you still have to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather go buy one that's already broke. You can buy one for $450 already broke,
mm-hmm.
and you can try him out. And this way, if you just give him a young colt. And
yeah.
Well, hell,
anyway,
don't mount anything, he can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
He can train him to get off and on, but then you haven't got anything after that.
Yeah. Well, these hills used to be full of horses people turned out during the year.
Oh, yeah. Down to Linkshire, here quite a few years ago, when we started closing up the range, there were 200 or 300 head of wild horses down there.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny McAfee, and Monty McAfee, and I and all the ranchers went down there to round them up.
Oh.
And we had a real time. They must have shipped 250 head of horses to the can out here.
I see, yeah.
Just all mixed up things.
Yeah, these are big work stock too, a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them, yeah, a lot of them got, you know, got mixed up with work stock. They weren't any good for saddle horses. Or,
yeah.
And they were too wild to work. And we had those rounded up and brought them in here to the stockyard and shipped them to Butte. The county, a lot of them weren't branded. The state got a lot of those.
Was that right?
Yeah, they got everything that wasn't branded.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But some guys have been out ahead of us and branded some too. Then they got them.
I see.
There's always somebody working.
Get there early enough.
Yeah, they weren't worth much either. A horse nowadays, if you send them down to Billings to the can, worth 25 cents. How?
Uh-huh.
If it was 1,000-pound horse, it's worth $250.
Yeah, right.
For dog food.
Yeah.
People got lots of dogs now. Those days, I think they were worth about 3 or 4 cents a pound.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Almost 4 or 5 cents
a pound, about all.
Now, did they used to round up some of those for the rodeo here, do I remember?
Oh.
Years ago?
Here, not too many years ago, Mr. Rankin had Birch Creek, and he had about 2,000 head of horses out there.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right.
1,000 to 1,500, maybe. I don't know how many. There was herds of horses out there, 100 or 150 in a bunch, and I don't know how many bunches. Quite a few.
Yeah.
And they'd go out there and round those up. He gave them to the rodeo free.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get anybody to ride them.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
In fact, I seen some big stallions come out there, 7, 8 years old, maybe 10 or 12, and they bucked so hard they broke their front legs.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't ever seen anything else. I don't know whether they didn't get enough calcium out there in that field or.
Yeah.
But they had to shoot two or three of them different years on account of their legs.
Yeah. I remember how big those horses were.
Yeah. Oh, weren't they terrific? But they'd come out of the chute, you know, and they were wild, and if the rider did stay on them, they'd just come right straight across to the grandstand and smash right into the fence.
Yeah.
They just were blind.
Yeah.
It's a wild.
Berserk horses.
But the cowboys didn't like that. They'd go back to these ones that know about the whistle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They didn't care for Rankin's horses. Well, he's dead about 6, 7 years now. That ended that.
Yeah.
They rounded those all up and sold them.
He used to have, did he have the most cattle in the valley when he was around?
Oh, yes.
Like quite a lot, didn't he? I remember
ranking
cattle.
He was the biggest landowner in Montana.
Was he?
Yeah. There may be corporations bigger, but he was himself was the largest landowner in Montana.
Yeah.
And he had cattle. Oh, we were all afraid when storms would come, they'd come up the road from Rock Creek and nobody driving them, and they were reaching through the fences and eating weeds and willows, and people were scared of them because they broke in. They'd eat you out one night.
Yeah. Huh.
And they'd take them. They finally had these convicts, and they'd come along and pick up a bunch, and then the next day there'd be that many more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just kept coming.
Yeah, I remember the Rankin men. They were hard-looking
crew. They were hard characters. Old Rankin told me, I have a place up above him up there, and he said, if you ever meet a fellow on the road walking to town, don't pick him up.
Is that right?
And they come out there to work, and my God, don't give him any lift.
Yeah.
And they were, I think most of them were convicts.
Yeah. What did he do, arrange their parole?
I think so.
Yeah,
he had a deal with them some way that if they stayed, they got their board, which, was good enough food, but he wouldn't let them butcher any cattle because he figured they'd get used to that. And he used to buy from Manger, he used to buy about 75 or 100 old sheep. And
oh, yeah?
Those guys got tired of mutton.
Yeah.
Pretty soon they wanted the beef.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't allow them to eat beef if he knew anything about it.
Hmm.
Had to eat mutton. And he had some old cooks there, men cooks, and I stayed there a time or two. And by golly, they had made good biscuits and good eating.
Decent enough.
Yeah,
grub,
it was decent enough. Mm-hmm. It was crude enough, but it was good.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all those guys needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had, they couldn't get any money. They had to go to Helner for money.
Get paid off.
They had to walk, bum a ride, or couldn't get the money out the ranch.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they didn't stay 30 or 60 days, they didn't get any. They had to stay.
Nice.
And after that, they got a dollar or two a day. But if they didn't stay that long, then they just got their board.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Oh, he was tough.
Yeah, he really was. Now, where did he get his land? Did he buy some of the old Ringling land? Or?
Yes, he bought all of John Ringling's land. I think $3 an acre, good, bad, different.
How many acres was that, I wonder, at the time?
Well, there was, you'll figure it up in your head, figure there was 101 sections, I think. 640 in a section.
Yeah, it's about 65,000 acres,
I'm pretty sure that they said 100.
Yeah.
I think they said the one, I don't know. Might as well have said 100, but it said 101.
101 sections, yeah.
It was pretty big.
Uh-huh. Do you remember John Ranley around here?
Oh, I seen him come in on the train.
Yeah.
You know, and he used to pull his car in with his waiters. And he's the one that took Manny Gordon out of here and got him to be a singer.
Be a singer, yeah.
Yeah. Manny, I knew Manny pretty good.
Yeah.
And he used to come in here and pull it up to depot when I was going to high school. He used to see the car there, and we used to go down and look around it, but never got in it.
Yeah.
Negroes were on there, porters.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
John hired a car to go out to the ranch and stuff.
Yeah.
And the other fellow, I knew him pretty good, Dick Ringling.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and he married a local girl here, and we knew him too, and when he was going to high school, we used to go down. He had pool tables at the bottom of that big house.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'd get in there. He was pretty good to play pool.
Uh-huh. I see. Yeah. That's where we're staying. I don't know if you know that.
No.
Yeah, Carol and I have an apartment there.
Oh. Bob Johnson.
Got it for the month of July.
Yeah.
And, Margaret Johnson, or Margaret Van Onen.
She lives right here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting place.
Yeah, it is.
We're told there are about 35 rooms in the place, but it sure looks it.
Three floors, isn't it?
Yeah?
I've been there to parties lately, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Not for a while, but I take our coats upstairs, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting place.
Dick Ringling ran all this for John, was that the idea?
He never owned it.
Yeah.
Didn't own it.
Uh-huh. And he died a fairly young man, did he?
Yes, he did. I think he drank himself.
Yeah, that's what that was my grandmother's story.
Well, he had a car wreck or two and got crippled up. He was a hunchback anyway.
Oh, he was? I didn't know that. I've never seen a picture of him.
Huh. Whether that was a car accident or... He had a car accident over by Wolf Creek, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Had Mrs. Smith with him. She broke her ankle. She limped and then on. And I don't know whether he had his girlfriend with him or her sister, I think. Mrs. Works. Mrs. Lester Works.
Yeah.
They tipped in a car over in early times.
I'll be darned.
Huh. And he drank to be dead.
Yeah, my grandmother had a story about his, even his funeral. The pallbearers were reeling with whiskey, I guess.
I heard that too. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty. Have you been up the castle?
Yeah, we've been up.
She supervises that.
She's supervisor of the castle.
Well, she's right up there at the castle.
I remember when I was a kid around here, that was all boarded up.
Yeah, they had some families in there. Donahoe didn't take care of it, and they had families in there, and they had printer burn it up a time or two. Some floors, printer burnt through.
Well, Donahoe's kept kind of a loose rein on things, did they? They lived in Seattle a lot.
Well, come out here. She built, Bobby built a house out here.
Did she?
Well, that's what I heard. She was pretty rich, too.
Mm. Is that Walter's wife or daughter? I don't remember.
Wife. He didn't have any children.
Oh.
Henry had two boys.
Oh, is that it?
Charlie and the other one.
Yeah.
And Henry would have, he was the youngest boy of Charlie. He would have liked to have the ranch, but he wasn't in good favor with Walter. He got to out here with Tony Hewn and those guys in the bunkhouse, and he got drink all. I guess he was an alcoholic. He got to drinking, and Brother Walter, he was a drinker too, but he didn't like his nephew to drink. And they sold that ranch right under that kid. They sold it for about $1.5 million, and that guy kept it for 2 or 3 years, and he sold it for double that.
Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah, that stuff's over in those Dolby records over at the university. It's kind of interesting to see the bills of sale and the appraiser's reports.
Yeah, we all like.
I think about $1.5 million he sold it for.
I think $1.7 million.
$1.7 million, isn't it? Yeah, a little bit.
It's appraised at $1.5 million, and they got $200,000 above the appraisal. Something.
They should have. Hell, it's only 2 or 3 years the fellow sold it for double.
Yeah, right.
And he didn't do much. Oh, he put in a few fences.
Yeah.
Is this
fellow Nichols?
Yeah. He's a banker from over to Dillon.
Oh.
And a real estate man.
Yeah.
Racehorse man. He knew he could make money on that thing.
Made some money in a hurry and got
out. We got worse now. We got a guy we don't like at all. We got this Lewis Ward.
Oh.
And he's a big stockholder in Rustover Candy, and then he has the Ward paper box company that makes all the boxes for the candy.
Oh, is that right?
And he's just giving us a bad time.
Huh.
And we just don't like him. He stays in St. Louis, Kansas City or St. Louis. And he flies out here once a month or something with his plane and lights and Helen, and drives over here and stays a day or two, and he's got a foreman. They don't associate with the people here much.
Is that right? That's really corporation.
Yeah, it's a corporation. They put, I don't know how many gates they got. They must have 500 gates on that place, and they're all padlocked. Nobody can get in anywhere.
So the Dogie
Ranch is all padlocked. The gates are. You can't get in. If you get a cow or something into theirs, you have to go to the house and they go get it for you. Heck, in our place, if you get a cow in somebody else's place, you go ahead and get your cow and come out. But you can't out there.
Hmm.
You don't allow anybody out.
He's a big
stockholder at Russell Stover Candy Company, and he owns a Ward paper box. He makes all the boxes for the candy. He's got a monopoly on that.
Pretty good deal too.
Yeah, pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Makes all the boxes. Besides what he owns in the stock he owns in the company.
Yeah.
These guys, what we have trouble with was over the water. This North Fork was decreed in 1890, a long time ago, and it doesn't state too well about all the tributaries and stuff. And he's lawsuiting us on all the tributaries.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he back east they have different water laws than they do in Montana. He figures if any water comes up on his land, it's his.
Oh, I'll be darned.
And we don't. We figure that we had a decree in 1890. Teresa's Lupo had he's the one that had the lawsuit way back in 1890. And they didn't specify all the creeks, but how are you going to get water in the creek if it take all the tributaries away? No water to give then.
Been to court on this?
We won one. Of course, he has a lawyers hired the year round, and us poor devils, we have to. We don't like to hire lawyers. That just isn't in the court. And this one big tributary, 4 miles.
Mm-hmm.
You know where 4 miles
is?
It runs about 15 or 20,000 inches for 30 to 40 days, and then it dries up.
Yeah.
And he said that wasn't part of the river. So if we don't get that, I think there's 38 decrees on the thing. If that doesn't hit the river, well, that cuts out a whole bunch of people that have been using water since 1890.
I'll be darned.
But we won that one.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do about it. We won here, and he wouldn't take that. He took us to Supreme Court and held it, and we still won it.
Still won, huh?
Maybe he can do something else. I don't know. And them lawyers are all working on it.
Yeah, huh. So this just recently you've been in the
We just got that Supreme Court decision about 2 months ago.
Oh, I'll be darned.
We had the other one last fall, and it took that long to go through the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And he's go after some other creeks now. He go after 8 Mile and Lake Creek and all those.
Think he might file suit on each creek?
Yeah, he file suit on each. Well, just keep us. Heck, I don't want to pay a lawyer.
Yeah.
Walter Donahoe was there. He knew what the score was, and he was friendly and everything. This fellow isn't friendly.
Hmm.
He liked to own the whole valley.
Yeah, sounds like. I understand. Did he buy the Tavener spread? Somebody tell me.
Oh yeah. And that's $7 million for that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot bigger than the Dogie.
Oh yeah.
Been around.
He's got trouble over there too. There's some lake over there outside of Anaconda, someplace, and the Taverners let people build summer homes along that lake. And didn't get any deed to the land.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this fellow's got the deed to the land. He'd give him a certain time to get them off of there. He's going to bulldoze them in the ground.
I'll be there.
Well, they're on the prod over there.
I'll bet.
Yeah, they've been out there for years.
Yeah. Sounds like he's not the most popular guy around, is he?
No, and it doesn't do him any good. Where the house is set, that isn't any good for grazing anyway. He just doesn't like you.
Yeah.
And those people don't like him. They're worse than we are.
Yeah.
They're planning on doing something to somebody.
Yeah. Huh.
Because the land it's no good for grazing anyway. It's on a rocky shore of a timbered lake.
Mm-hmm.
But he owns it. That's what I hear all that.
Yeah.
No.
He's,
well, Peggy.
We didn't. We liked Donahoe's best.
Yeah.
She lives
yeah.
in Denver, and when her husband was here, he's been.
Of course, I guess.
I wonder who had that land originally before old Mike Donahoe. Do you know?
Oh, the Denzers.
Well, the Denzers did.
Yeah, well, that all came up in the lawsuit. They had. There was a. Either three or four Denzers owned that place, and they were the ones
yeah.
that got the water rights that they have got.
Yeah, okay.
Denzers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Well, there was Denzers here, and they've all died off.
Yeah.
They had homesteads all up down that creek.
Yeah.
That's where he got it. Then he bought all up around Stubbs and Wheeler, and up in there he got that, old Mike Donahoe got that. Walter told me some of it for 15 to 75 cents an acre.
Right.
He kept adding on all those homesteads.
Well, they eventually had, I think it's 46 or 7,000 acres.
Yeah,
when they sold
yeah,
to Nichols.
I think so. And I asked him one time, somebody seen an ad in a paper, either in Billings paper or the Great Falls, and it sounded just like Donahoe's. Is it a party? And he said, well, y'all, is that your ranch advertised for sale? Why, he got mad. He said, why, we would never sell our ranch. By golly, it was.
Yeah.
And then I kind of sensed he was going to sell it, and I didn't have enough range for my ranch. And I said, Walter, he was a good friend of mine. I said, Walter, how about let me get three or four sections out on the edge? Oh, he said we had a hard time putting that together, and we wanted to go on a unit.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he wouldn't do it. I was a pretty good friend to him. Here's some of the grandkids.
Well, what do you remember about my mother at all?
Telling Carol was that when you and Susan were little, you used to play a lot together, you know, and sometimes I'd get real busy, and I'd wonder, where are they? And they were always down at your house, and your mother would read to you.
Oh,
and she'd read by the hour. A hot afternoon came on, she'd keep you cool and quiet, just sitting there reading.
Is that it?
It was just darling. And Carol said, well, we wondered how he happened to get to like reading so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a part of your life
yeah.
from the very beginning.
I see, that's how.
And you know, Susan turned out the same way. She
yeah.
reads
yeah.
all the time.
How old would that we have been then? Three or four, something like that?
Yeah, you were four.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Before school.
Yeah, and she was so quiet. She had a real soft voice and real, just very sweet. I was very fond of her. I had never been around her before until that summer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Fred had known your dad, but I had never known your mother.
Nice.
And I just enjoyed her so much.
Sure, I'll be darned.
She was a very sweet person.
Yeah, yeah. She was quite small.
Yes, yes, she was very small.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And had a very sweet face.
Yeah.
You resemble her.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot, I take after
mm-hmm.
that side of the family, I think, yeah. Was she cooking for the hay crew, I wonder?
Yeah, but was it, I don't remember whether it was a big hay crew or wasn't it some of the relatives too?
Could have been. Fred said my dad had a bunch of guys from the town that got
oh,
married, and there were some relatives among those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was doing it. I think your father helped her a lot, though.
Yeah.
They were very close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure he helped her.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. That must have been the summer or so before they went to Arizona. They went down there for her health, spent the winter, and then came back, and it was the next summer that she died.
Yeah,
so,
it was so tragic. It was a rainy June. Wasn't it June when
mm-hmm.
she died?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it was so rainy, and they were up in the mountains.
Down in the Bridgers.
Oh, was that it? And I don't know whether she was ill a long time or what, but I remember we were all so sad because it was so difficult to get in and out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been down in that country where she died recently.
Oh, really?
It's really remote. It's about
yeah.
35 miles north of Bozeman.
And you were so little. And, oh, it just, I don't know, I've never forgotten it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Susie and I went to her funeral, and when we came in, the undertaker was ushering, and he brought us right up beside the casket, and I sure Susan had never been to a funeral before. And it didn't bother her one bit. I told her that Mrs. Doig had gone. And so she sat there just taking it all in. And she knew what it was all about. But it was so sad because you were so little. And of course, I think, oh, what if that had happened to Susan? That's probably why you and your dad were so close.
I think so, yeah. Because he raised me by himself for the next five or so years.
Gee, that's hard to do.
So, I've done a lot of thinking about that for this book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of treated me like a small, small grown-up or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure.
So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting way to grow up, at least, I guess.
Yeah, it sure is. I always feel so sorry for men that are left like that, because so many things to do besides their own part of the bargain. It's awful.
Well, what do you remember about my mother, even my mother's way of speaking or voice or anything?
She was very soft-spoken.
That is?
Yes. And another thing, she laughed a lot.
Oh.
She had a kind of a little chuckle. She was rather round-shouldered.
Yes, right.
And she kind of held her head back like this. And I can remember throwing her head back and laughing. And she laughed a lot. I never saw her angry or upset about anybody or anything. She was always so pleasant. And it wasn't too easy what she was doing, you know. She had men to cook for, and it was not the best facilities at all. But she never seemed to be mad about it.
Yeah. Now, was that the summer? Let's see. Did you people live in the original house there?
Yeah.
And we lived down in a
Yeah. And that wooden house is gone. But the boards are on the front of our house.
I see. I remember that kind of color on the place.
Yeah. When Gertrude tore that building down, that building is old by him. Was built in 1908, and Gert always hated it. She thought it was so ugly. Well, it was, you know, it's just nothing. But anyway, these weathered boards are so beautiful.
Yeah.
See, they'd never been painted, and this is just standing there year after year for 70 years. They have had this beautiful color, and so I hated to. Well, at the time, I'd run out of space for books, and we had too many windows in that room anyway, and we were trying to conserve heat. So I took out that window. Oh, come on, show me.